Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're taking a deep dive into the world of metal additive manufacturing.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah. Specifically, we're going to be looking at laser powder bed fusion, which is basically, you know, like 3D printing with metal using lasers to fuse metal powder and build these crazy complex structures layer by layer. But, you know, it's not as simple as it sounds. There are all sorts of forces at play during the printing process.
For sure.
Which can lead to, like, warping and distortions if you're not careful.
Yeah.
So we're also going to be exploring this really cool simulation method called the inherent strain method.
Interesting.
Which basically helps predict and control all those forces. It's kind of like having a superpower.
Right.
To see how the metal's going to behave before you even start printing.
Yeah. That's the holy grail, isn't it? Being able to predict those distortions ahead of time.
Totally. And we've got a research paper and a couple of videos to guide us on this journey. So first things first, what exactly is metal additive manufacturing and how does it differ from, you know, the traditional way of making things?
Okay, so metal additive manufacturing, or MAM for short, is all about building objects layer by layer for metal powder.
Okay.
As opposed to traditional, what we call subtractive manufacturing, where you start with a block of material, you kind of chip away at it until you get the shape you want.
Yeah.
Think of it like sculpting versus carving. You're adding material instead of taking it away.
Ah, okay, got it. So less waste and more design freedom, I guess.
Exactly. That's one of the big advantages.
I'm already intrigued.
And within MAM, there are a bunch of different categories, but we're going to focus on powder bed fusion today.
Yeah.
Or PBF.
Okay.
And specifically, laser powder bed fusion, LPBF. So basically, we have this high-powered laser that melts and fuses metal powder according to, you know, a digital model. You're building the object layer by microscopic layer.
So it's like a super precise welding torch, but instead of like joining two pieces together, it's creating an entire object.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
From scratch, guided by a computer model.
And because we have such fine control of the laser, we can create really intricate geometries and even control the internal structure of the material.
Oh, wow. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, stuff that would be impossible with traditional methods.
Okay, so to get a visual of this, there's a video link in the show notes. I've seen it, and it's pretty mesmerizing to watch.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, the paper mentions using a specific metal, Inconel 718. I know it's used in aerospace and stuff. What makes it so special?
Yeah, so Inconel 718 is a nickel-chromium superalloy known for its crazy strength at high temperatures.
Okay.
It's also really resistant to corrosion and fatigue. So it's perfect for, like, jet engine components, rocket parts, you know, anything that needs to withstand some serious heat and stress.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty intense.
And it really shows off what LPBF can do. You can work with these high-performance materials that would be a nightmare to process using traditional methods.
So we've got this amazing technology, complex shapes, incredible precision, and we can use these super strong materials. But I'm guessing it's not all smooth sailing, right? There must be some challenges with this whole LPBF thing.
Oh, absolutely. You're dealing with some serious heat here. Those rapid heating and cooling cycles can create a lot of thermal stress within the material.
Okay.
And that can lead to warping and distortions in the final product.
I can imagine. So how do you even begin to address those issues?
That is where simulation comes in.
All right.
And that's where the inherent strain method, or ISM, really shines.
Inherent strain method. Okay, I gotta admit, that sounds a little intimidating. Can you, like, break it down for us, make it a little less scary?
Sure. Imagine you're building a tower out of Legos.
Okay, I can do that.
Now imagine some of those Legos are, like, slightly warped or twisted right out of the box.
Yeah, I've definitely encountered a few of those.
Exactly. They're not perfectly rectangular. That's kind of like inherent strain, these pre-existing stresses within the material.
So even before you start building, there are these hidden stresses that can mess things up.
That's the idea.
Interesting. So how does this inherent strain method help us with that?
Well, it gives us a way to, like, anticipate those stresses and even control them.
Oh, okay.
Making LPBF more predictable.
So it's like you're playing a game and you get to see a few moves ahead.
Exactly.
You can plan your strategy accordingly.
And avoid any nasty surprises.
Cool. Okay, I'm starting to get it. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of ISM, let's just back up a bit. Can you tell us about the different ways to simulate LPBF in general?
Yeah, so there are two main approaches. The first one is detailed thermal mechanical simulation.
Okay.
Which is pretty much what it sounds like. It tries to simulate every single heating and cooling cycle in detail.
Wow, that sounds incredibly complex.
It is. And while it can be super accurate, It's also really computationally expensive. It takes a ton of computing power and time to run these simulations.
Oh, I see.
Especially for big, complicated parts.
So not exactly practical for everyday use.
Right. And that's where the second approach comes in, the inherent strain method.
Our star of the show. So how does ISM differ from that detailed simulation?
Well, instead of trying to simulate everything in excruciating detail, it simplifies things by using predefined strain values.
Predefined. So it's like a shortcut.
Yeah, kind of. But don't worry. These values are based on either detailed simulations or experiments, so they capture the essence of how the material behaves under those rapid heating and cooling conditions.
So we're not just making these values up.
No, not at all. It's like having a cheat sheet that tells you how the metal's going to remember its thermal history without having to simulate every single step.
I like the sound of that. But before we go any further, let's just take a quick look at the LPBF process itself, just to make sure we're all on the same page.
Sounds good.
So how does it actually work? What are the basic steps?
All right, so it all starts with a thin layer of metal powder spread out on a build platform.
Okay.
Then a powerful laser, guided by a computer model, comes in and selectively melts and fuses certain areas of the powder.
Right.
It's basically tracing the outline of the object layer by layer.
So it's like drawing with light, but instead of ink, we're using molten metal.
That's a great way to put it.
And once the first layer is done, the platform lowers, more powder gets spread on top.
Yep.
And the laser goes back to work building up the object.
Layer by microscopic layer.
I'm really starting to see why they call it powder bed fusion. Okay, now back to the inherent strain method. You mentioned predefined strain values. Where do those values actually come from? How are they determined?
It's a two-stage process. The first stage is called micron scale modeling, and it involves running detailed simulations, but at very small scale.
Okay.
Focusing on just a tiny representative volume of the material.
So like zooming in with a microscope to see how the metal behaves during the heating and cooling?
Exactly. We carefully model the laser's path, the melting and solidification of the metal powder,
right,
and all the stresses that develop within that tiny volume.
I bet those calculations get pretty intense.
Oh, they do. It's like simulating a miniature world of molten metal.
Wow.
Tracking how each tiny particle interacts with its neighbors.
So it's like creating a mini movie of what's happening inside the metal.
Yeah. And the goal of this stage is to capture the inherent strain, those tiny warps that are caused by those rapid temperature changes.
So basically, we're creating a library of these inherent strain values for different materials.
Right, different processing conditions.
Okay, I'm with you. So we've got our library, our cheat sheet of inherent strain values. What happens next?
That brings us to the second stage, macro scale modeling. This is where we take those pre-calculated strain values and apply them to the entire object.
Ah, okay. So instead of simulating every single layer and every laser path.
Exactly.
We use those inherent strain values as a shortcut to predict how the object will distort as a whole.
You got it. It saves a ton of time and computing power.
So we've gone from micro to macro.
From tiny volumes to the whole enchilada.
Okay, this all sounds great in theory, but how do we know these simulations are actually accurate? I mean, does it actually work in practice?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And that's where the research paper comes in.
Okay.
They put the inherent strain method to the test by simulating the creation of a cantilever beam.
A cantilever beam. Like a diving board.
Yeah, exactly. Simple structure, but perfect for studying forces and stresses. And they chose to use Incanal 718 for this.
Makes sense, given what we talked about earlier. So they created a virtual model of this beam and simulated the LPBF process.
Using the inherent strain method.
And what did they find? Spill the beans.
Well, they compared the simulation's predictions with real-world observations of cantilever beams created using LPBF and Incanal 718.
Okay, so they actually built the thing to see if the simulation matched reality.
Exactly. And the results were pretty impressive. The simulation accurately predicted how the beam would distort due to those residual stresses.
So those tiny warped Lego bricks we talked about.
Yep, those little guys. The simulation was able to see how they would affect the shape of the entire beam.
That's really cool. What does that mean for, like, the real world of manufacturing?
Well, it means you can predict distortions before you even start printing.
Right.
So you can adjust your design.
Okay.
Tweak the process parameters.
To compensate.
Exactly. Which means more accurate parts.
Less waste, fewer headaches.
You got it.
That's a huge win. And it's not just about predicting distortions, right?
No, not at all. ISM can also help optimize other aspects of the LPBF process.
Like what?
figuring out the best laser parameters.
Okay.
The best scanning strategies for different materials.
So we're not just avoiding problems, we're actually fine-tuning the process.
To get the exact results you want.
That's awesome. Okay, so we've seen how the inherent strain method is backed up by research and how it can lead to some pretty amazing outcomes.
For sure.
But I'm curious, are there any limitations or challenges with this method?
Well, no simulation is perfect, right?
Right.
One thing to consider is the computational cost.
Okay.
While ISM is definitely more efficient than those detailed thermomechanical simulations, it still needs some serious computing power, especially for really complex parts.
So there's always a trade-off between accuracy and efficiency.
Exactly. And then there's the challenge of capturing all the real-world complexities of the LPBF process.
Oh, yeah. But
you've got all these variables.
Okay, right.
Laser parameters, powder properties, environmental conditions.
It's like trying to model the entire universe.
It is. And one interesting thing that popped up in the paper was the impact of the number of equivalent layers used in the macro scale model.
Equivalent layers. Refresh my memory. What are those again?
Remember how we talked about grouping multiple physical layers together in the macro scale model?
Right, to simplify things, like using bigger Lego bricks to build the same structure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, they found that the number of equivalent layers you choose can actually affect the accuracy of your results.
So the more Lego bricks you use, the more detailed and accurate your model becomes.
That's the general idea.
Yeah.
But of course, more layers also mean more complex calculations.
And more time.
Exactly.
So how do you find the right balance?
That's where the expertise of the engineer really comes in.
Right.
Understanding the level of accuracy needed for a specific application.
Okay.
And then figuring out how to optimize the number of equivalent layers to get that accuracy without, like, overloading your computer.
It's like choosing the right tool for the job. Sometimes you need a fine-tipped pen, and sometimes you need a thick marker.
Great analogy.
It's fascinating to see how all these digital tools are pushing the boundaries of what we can do with materials.
Totally agree.
It's like we're not just building objects anymore, we're engineering materials from the ground up.
Mm.
But it feels like we're just scratching the surface of what's possible. So what are some of the future applications for this technology that you find most exciting?
Oh, there are so many.
Right.
But one area that's particularly cool is 4D printing.
4D printing. Is that like 3D printing with an extra dimension?
You could say that.
I mean, how do you even add another dimension?
Well, imagine printing objects that can actually change their shape over time.
Okay.
In response to like heat or light or even chemicals.
So like a metal flower that blooms when you shine a light on it.
Exactly. Oh. Or like medical implants that adapt to the body.
Whoa.
Or aerospace components that change shape to improve their aerodynamic performance.
That's incredible. And it all comes back to that layer by layer precision and control, right?
Yeah.
We're taking 3D printing to a whole new level. What about other potential applications? Any other cool stuff on the horizon?
Well, another area with huge potential is functionally graded materials.
Functionally graded? What does that even mean?
Imagine a metal part where the properties, like the strengths or flexibility, gradually change from one end to the other.
So it's like a gradient within the material itself.
Precisely. You could have a part that's super strong at one end.
Okay.
But really flexible at the other, all in the same piece.
Wow, that's pretty mind-blowing.
Think about the possibilities. Tools that are tough at the cutting edge, but comfortable to hold, or prosthetic limbs that seamlessly transition from rigid to flexible parts.
It's like we're blurring the lines between material science and design.
For sure. And on top of all that, there's a big push to scale up this technology.
Okay.
To create larger and larger parts.
So instead of just like small components,
right,
we could be printing entire bridges or buildings.
Potentially even spacecraft components.
That's incredible. So we're talking about revolutionizing not just manufacturing, but construction and space exploration as well.
It's a pretty exciting time to be in this field.
No kidding. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here today. We've explored LPBF, the challenges of distortions, and this incredible inherent strain method.
And we've just scratched the surface of what's possible with this technology.
Right. But before we wrap things up, I want to bring it back to our listeners.
Okay.
What are the key takeaways they should walk away with today?
Well, I think the first takeaway is that metal additive manufacturing, specifically laser powder bed fusion, is a real game changer.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not just 3D printing with metal. It's about creating parts with crazy precision.
Right.
And complexity that we couldn't even dream of before.
And with these really high performance materials?
Exactly. Like that Inconel 718 we talked about.
Yeah.
Which can handle some serious heat and stress.
Looked pretty wild.
But, you know, like we discussed, there are challenges.
Yeah, those distortions can be a real pain.
Exactly. But that's where the inherent strain method comes in.
Our trusty crystal ball.
Right. It helps us anticipate those stresses and control them so we can make sure our parts come out exactly the way we want them.
And we saw how it actually works in practice.
Mm-hmm.
They tested it out with that cantilever beam, remember?
That diving board.
Yeah. And the simulation accurately predicted the distortions.
Which is huge. It means less waste, fewer design iterations, and more reliable parts in the end.
Talk about a win-win.
And the applications go way beyond just predicting distortions.
Okay.
ISM can help optimize the whole LPBF process.
Really?
So finding the best laser parameters, the best scanning strategies for different materials and shapes, it's all about maximizing that control we have over those intricate layers.
It's like we're conducting an orchestra of lasers and metal powder.
And the conductor is the inherent strain method.
I love that. It really feels like we're pushing the boundaries of what's possible with materials.
Totally. It's not just about building objects anymore. It's about designing materials from the ground up.
And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me today. We're witnessing the birth of a whole new era of manufacturing.
Where the only limit is our imagination.
That's pretty inspiring.
It is, isn't it? I mean, think about all those cool applications we talked about.
4D printing, functionally graded materials, large-scale structures.
The possibilities are mind-blowing.
No kidding. But before we let our imaginations run too wild, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise.
My pleasure. It's been a fun conversation.
And to our listeners, we encourage you to check out the links in the show notes to explore these topics further.
Don't stop learning.
Keep those mental gears turning. And who knows? Maybe you'll be the one to invent the next big thing in additive manufacturing. Until next time, stay curious.
I think the first takeaway is that metal additive manufacturing, specifically laser powder bed fusion, is a real game changer.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not just 3D printing with metal.
Right.
It's about creating parts with crazy precision and complexity.
And with these really high performance materials.
Exactly. Like that Incarnal 718 we talked about.
Yeah.
Which can handle some serious heat and stress.
It's pretty wild.
But like we discussed, there are challenges.
Yeah, those distortions can be a real pain.
Exactly. But that's where the inherent strain method comes in.
Our trusty crystal ball.
Right. It helps us anticipate those stresses.
Yeah.
And control them so we can make sure our parts come out exactly the way we want them.
And we saw how it actually works in practice.
Mm-hmm.
They tested it out with that cantilever beam, remember?
The diving board.
Yeah. And the simulation accurately predicted the distortions.
Which is huge. It means less waste, fewer design iterations, and more reliable parts in the end.
Talk about a win-win.
And the applications go way beyond just predicting distortions.
Okay.
ISM can help optimize the whole LPBF process.
Very.
So finding the best laser parameters, the best scanning strategies for different materials and shapes, it's all about maximizing that control we have over those intricate layers.
It's like we're conducting an orchestra of lasers and metal powder.
And the conductor is the inherent strain method.
I love that. It really feels like we're pushing the boundaries of what's possible with material.
Totally. It's not just about building objects anymore. It's about designing materials from the ground up.
And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me today.
For sure.
We're witnessing the birth of a whole new era of manufacturing.
Where the only limit is our imagination.
That's pretty inspiring.
It is, isn't it? I mean, think about all those cool applications we talked about.
4D printing, functionally graded materials, large-scale structures.
The possibilities are mind-blowing.
No kidding. But before we let our imaginations run too wild, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise.
My pleasure. It's been a fun conversation.
And to our listeners, we encourage you to check out the links in the show notes to explore these topics further.
Don't stop learning.
Keep those mental gears turning. And who knows, maybe you'll be the one to invent the next big thing in additive manufacturing.
Mm.
Until next time, stay curious.